Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse Radio. My name is Michael Moret, and today we're in Psalm number 63. That's where we will begin, Psalm 63, verse 1. So grab your Bible, open it up to the book of Psalms, Psalm 63. While you're doing that, I'll take a moment to tell you once again about the Scripture Verse by Verse website. And the reason I talk about this on every broadcast is because I want you to study the Word of God. The Word of God is so important. How can a young man keep his way pure? By giving heed unto your word, O Lord. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. If you want to be a stronger Christian, you got to be in the Word. And of course, that's what we're going to be doing today. But you can study the whole Bible online using my audio Bible commentaries. Study it verse by verse at thebibleversebyverse.com. And it's so easy to do. Just go there to thebibleverseByVerse.com, click on the book you want to study, click on the chapter, open your Bible and listen, and follow along. It's that simple. That's at thebibleverseByVerse.com. Well, today, as I said, we are in the book of Psalms, continuing our verse-by-verse study. We are in Psalm 63, so let's begin with prayer. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. How rare this is among Christians. How rare this is among Christians today who thirst for the things of the world, who thirst for one thrill and then another. I don't understand why Jesus is not enough. He's been enough for me since I was saved. I'm not saying I don't sin. I sin. It makes me sick. But why isn't Jesus enough? You know, there should be a thirst for God, just like he had, like David had. A thirst to spend time with him. A thirst that nothing else can satisfy. And that will not go away until it happens. You say, well, I don't have time. I just don't have time. I'm too busy. If you're too busy for God, you are too busy. Boy, your priorities messed up. Stop cluttering your life with things that really don't matter. Really? More important than spending time with God? That's ridiculous. 2. To see your power and your glory, so as I have seen you in the sanctuary. He enjoyed God in the past, which is why he wants it so badly again. See, you got a little taste of God. Once you get a taste of God, you never forget it. He says, because, in verse 3, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. In other words, you're better off being dead than not experiencing the love and kindness of God. And yeah, you experience that in your daily life, I'm sure, but do you really appreciate it? I could tell you what will help you to appreciate it more than anything, and that's being in the Word. Because that makes you aware of it in your life. And you also see it in His Word. I mean, it compounds itself. It's wonderful. Verse 4. Thus will I bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Christians should praise God, should worship him until the moment that they die. a new woman, just loved Jesus so much, and she was suffering so terribly from cancer. And she never lost her faith in God. In fact, it probably got stronger. And the last thing she did, she lifted up her hands, told Jesus that she loved him, and asked him to take her home. And he did. Christians should praise God until they die. If you can't do anything else for God, you can do that. You can always do that. Verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. Worshipping Jesus will satisfy you like a good meal. It's the same sort of feeling. I don't know. Do you feel that way? You get done with a good meal, you know? Me, every once in a while, you know, make a steak on the grill, charcoal. Still use charcoal. Boy, you know, I have some corn on the cob, maybe some fresh tomatoes, and some fresh-cut cucumbers or something like that. You know, you finish a meal like that, and you just sit back, and wow, that feels good. That's satisfying. And worshiping Jesus gives you that same kind of satisfaction. Verse 6. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the night watches. There's no sense in changing captains in midstream. Jesus has been good to us from the second that we were born. In creating us, he was good to us. If you're a Christian, in saving you, he has been good to us so far. So why chuck him for someone or something else? It makes no sense. So he says, I'm going to remember you on my bed. I'm going to keep doing it. 7, because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings will I rejoice. When some people think about God, they think about what they want him to do or what he has not done for them. David thought about the things that God has done for him. Boy, that's the right attitude to have, you know that? Think about the things that God has done for you. It's a good idea to write those things down and praise him for every one of them. Go for a walk if you can and think about all the things that God has done for you. In fact, I think I'm going to do that later on today. Verse 8, my soul follows close after you. Your right hand upholds me. Cling to God with your soul. That's what he's saying. My soul follows hard after you. It's close. I'm clinging to you with my soul. In other words, don't ever lose your faith in Jesus Christ. No matter what happens, cling to him with your soul. Verse 9, but those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. In other words, it's not going to be good for them. That means hell. You get your kicks out of offending God and hurting his people. Boy, it better be a lot more fun than I think it is, since you're going to be burning in hell if you continue to do it. Verse 10. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. More bad news for those who oppose God by doing bad things to Christians. Verse 11. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. The mouth of liars will be shut eventually. And that's because in hell there won't be anything to lie about. And even if you thought about something to lie about, no one would be interested because they're all suffering so much. So, you know, go ahead, tell your lies. I mean, if that's what you want to do, go ahead. But just know, you're going to stop one of these days. Psalm 64, hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. He says, hear my voice, O God, and God will hear our voice when we talk to him about what troubles us. And sometimes he gives us answers even while we are talking to him. I like that when that happens. So he says, hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. In my prayer, preserve my life from the fear of the enemy. So even as I'm praying, because of my prayer and in my prayer, preserve my life. Verse 2, hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity. Insurrection, conspiracy, secret. You know what a conspiracy is, right? It is a secret plan to do wrong. That should be a red flag for anyone. I mean, if you have to sneak around and do something, that ought to be a red flag. Verse 3. Who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. God compares hurtful words to sharp arrows. Verse 4. That they may shoot in secret at the perfect, suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They don't fear God. It's not a big deal to them that God hates what they do. So they hurt others with their words. They know God hates it, it just doesn't matter to them. And so that's why they do it. Don't care about God. They don't fear God. That's the fundamental problem with all sinners. When you commit a sin, you don't fear God like you should. Verse 5. Verse 5. It says they encourage themselves in an evil matter. They talk of laying snares secretly. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart are deep. Sinners who plot evil think it's a great plan. And they think, no one's going to catch me. What they don't understand is God has already caught them. Verse 7. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. God's arrows are going to drop his enemies. It's only a matter of time before that happens. The Bible says, the wicked shall not stand in the day of judgment. Verse 9, and all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider his doings. All men will fear God on judgment day. There will be no exceptions. When they stand before Almighty God, they're going to acknowledge that he is right about everything. 10. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. Today, we Christians can rejoice in the final victory, but we have to do it by faith. And we should do it. It's good to think about how this story is going to end, because that'll give us encouragement to persevere. See, that's another good reason to study the Word of God, because it tells us how the story will end, and it helps us to persevere. Psalm 65, praise waits for you, O God, in Zion, and unto you shall the vow be performed. See, it's all about God. Praise waits for you, and unto you shall the vow be performed. It's all about God. Praise Him. Do what He wants. That's why you're here. Verse 2, O you that hears prayer, unto you shall all flesh come. It's wonderful when God gives us what we pray for. I mean, that's thrilling. But to me, just the fact that He actually takes the time to hear my prayers, that thrills me, I think, more than anything. I mean, that's what I love about answered prayers. The thing that I ask for and that He gives is secondary. Just, I'm always more enamored with the fact that He actually took the time to hear me. And so He says, oh, you that hears prayers. That's a big deal. Verse 3, iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you shall purge them away. Christians grieve when we sin. We can't stand it. But they are gone through Jesus Christ, who makes us so clean that we squeak. We are purged completely and totally clean through Jesus Christ. They still bother us, but they're gone. God doesn't see them completely clean. Verse 4, blessed is the man whom you choose and cause to approach unto you, that he may dwell in your courts. Some people don't like the doctrine of election, the fact that God chooses people to come close to Him. You know, I really don't care if it doesn't fit your theology. It is what the Bible teaches. And so I'm going to teach it, and you should believe it. We couldn't possibly choose Jesus, and we wouldn't care one bit about Almighty God unless God chose us first. And I don't know how that lines up with our free will, but both are taught in Scripture. And so both should be taught as fact. Whether they are contradictory in our mind or not, it doesn't matter. They're both true. Teach them both. Verse 4 again, blessed is the man whom you choose and cause to approach unto you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, even of your holy temple. We, you know, the unsaved can enjoy things. They can enjoy the things of this world. They've got five senses. But only a Christian who is walking with the Lord with no unconfessed sins in their life can have complete and total satisfaction and contentment. Because Jesus is the one who fills in all gaps. And if you don't have Him and you're not walking with Him, it doesn't matter how many things of the world you enjoy with your five senses, there's going to be something missing. Verse 5, by awesome deeds in righteousness will you answer us. O God of our salvation, who is the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are far off upon the sea. The writer is thinking, and he's thinking big when it comes to God. He says, by awesome deeds in righteousness will you answer us. He's not putting any limits on God at all. Don't put any limits on God. Never put any limits on God other than the boundaries of Scripture, because He will never do anything that contradicts His word. But beyond that, the sky's the limit. He can do anything you want to do, want Him to do, or need Him to do, and a whole lot more. It's like the Bible says, God can do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond which we can ask, think, or imagine. He can do it all. Verse 6, who by His strength established the mountains, being girded with power. If God could create the Rockies, Mount Everest? He can handle your needs. He's got the power to do it. Verse 7. Who stills the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people? Who else but God can still the waves of the sea and even take away the noise? Who can do that except God? God does it. And who did it? Not once, but at least a couple of times recorded in the Gospels. Who did it? Jesus. Calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee. Even walked on top of the water in the middle of a storm to show who was boss. Amazing. Guess that means Jesus is God, doesn't it? Guess so. Verse 8. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at your signs. You make the outgoings of the morning and the evening to rejoice. The outgoings of the morning and the evening rejoice. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about sunrise and sunset. Is there anything more magnificent than a good sunrise and a sunset? And they're all different. And they're all put there by God. He puts them all together. Every single day he does it, without exception. Now, sometimes it's cloudy, but a lot of times, you know, if there's a little break in the cloud, you've seen it. They're magnificent. Just part of the handiwork of God. Something to bless us. And something to make us think about him. I hope you do. Verse 9. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it with the river of God, which is full of water. You prepare them grain when you have so provided for it. I love rivers. I love rivers, I think, more than lakes. I suppose I grew up by a river. It was in my backyard. And for most of my life, I've lived pretty close to that same river. And when I go for my walk later on today, and I pray to God while I'm walking, I'm going to be right next to that river. And when I'm next to that river, I'm going to thank God for it, as I most of the time do. And I'm going to remember what the Bible says here, that he's the one who put that water in that river. And it's not just that. Verse 9 teaches that God gives us the water and the food that we need. God gives us sunshine. He gives us rain so that his earth can provide what we need. Verse 10, you water its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. Without God, there would not be any crops. There would not be any gardens. Verse 11, you crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drop fatness. You crown the year with your goodness. And I don't know why, but, you know, when it gets to be December, last weekend, you know, of the year, something like that, you know, all the news networks, and, you know, they usually have, they reflect on the previous year, and they give you all the main stories, all the things that happened. They always talk about, I don't know why, but that never interests me. In fact, I don't like it, and I don't know why. Maybe because my birthday is in January, and I don't like to think about the fact that I'm getting older, another year older. I don't know. I guess it doesn't matter. But even though I don't really care for year-in-review stories, as a Christian, I think we should reflect on the previous year, take account of what has happened, and count all of our blessings, and acknowledge God's hand in them all, and thank him for each one. And that's what this is talking about. Verse 12, they drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. Just talking about the beauty of God's earth, what he has given us to enjoy. So, sometimes it's just nice to take a drive in the country or go to a park and look at everything and thank God for putting it there, because he did. 13, the pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. Everything good that we see in nature is God's doing, and none of it should be taken for granted. Let's go into Psalm 66 a bit. Verse 1, make a joyful noise unto God, all you lands. All you lands should make a joyful noise unto God. And of course, that's talking about the people. And why? Because he owns all the land everywhere in the world. And he blesses all the lands. If there's something good, it's because of God. Every human being on earth should be excited about the one true God, the God of the Bible, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, sing forth the honor of his name, make his praise glorious. In other words, do it the best that you can. No half-hearted praise. Verse 3, say unto God, how awesome are you in your works. Through the greatness of your power shall your enemies submit themselves unto you. In other words, don't take God for granted. Talk to him, tell him, praise him, because he deserves it. How awesome are your works, God. Verse 4, all the earth shall worship you and shall sing unto you. They shall sing unto your name, Selah. You know, God has people in every part of the world. Right now he does. At least a remnant someplace. Even in, you know, some communist countries, man. He's got some people there. They're underground, but in a lot of cases. But he's got his people there who worship him. And so he's being praised on every continent. Verse 5. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing toward the children of men. When you look at nature, when you look at a river, when you look at a mountain, when you look at a field, when you look at grain growing, when you look at corn, when you look at anything, recognize that it's all the work of God. And he deserves credit for it. Verse 6, he turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. You know, the Israelites never forgot what God did when he parted the Red Sea and got them away from the Egyptian army. Man, that was a big deal. They never forgot that. Example of God's power and his provision and his authority over nature. So we see that not only did God make everything, but he can manipulate it when it suits his purposes to bless his people. So God can use all of nature to bless us or to cause trouble for us, depending on what we need. Verse 7, he rules by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah. You exalt yourself against God, and he's going to show you who's boss in a hurry. Now, if you want to study the Word of God further, you can do that at thebibleversebyverse.com. And just go to thebibleversebyverse.com and click on either Scripture verse by verse 1 or 2 or 3. Click on the book you want to study, open your Bible, click on the chapter, and follow along as I teach it verse by verse. That's found at thebibleversebyverse.com. And if the Word of God blesses you, would you please consider blessing us back? Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated, and you can give right at thebibleversebyverse.com. Just click on the donate button and give in a very secure method using PayPal. Otherwise, our mailing address is Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin 54402-2211. One more time, that's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin 54402-2211. And that web address for the Scripture Verse by Verse website is thebibleversebyverse.com. Until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. Don't forget, stay in the Word and stay in prayer.